Tom said. Wondering where that remark had come from. Sharon set her briefcase on her desk and opened it, stared at its contents. After a while, Tom said, So, like, which force is, strong and long-range? Sharon took her notebook out and turned it absently. Electromagnetism, she said, and the weak long-range force is gravity.
Maybe I'm putting on weight, but gravity doesn't feel so weak to me.
Yeah, but you need a whole planet full to feel it, don't you? Tom laughed. You got me with that one. And the short-range forces are the strong and weak nuclear forces.
Wait, said Tom. Let me guess which one is the strong one.
Sharon dropped her notebook to the desk. She said nothing, but said it loudly.
Okay. So how does quantity fit in? Tom asked her.
By redefining the ranges. Long range and short range only apply to the familiar three spatial dimensions. Other forces might propagate along the hidden dimensions. You see, forces are space warps. Einstein showed that gravity was a warp caused by the existence of matter. I mean, the Earth orbits the Sun, right?
Tom had been so immersed in medieval research that the question seemed weirdly counterfactual. The Earth was in the center, and the Sun circled in the fourth heaven. The lack of sensible parallax of the fixed stars had disproven heliocentrism centuries before. But he knew by now to avoid smart-ass answers if he knew that more often he'd have less stress in his life.
Okay.
So, how does the Earth know the Sun is there? No action at a distance, right? Answer, the Earth doesn't know jack about the Sun. It just follows the path of least resistance and rolls around the lip of the funnel. So if gravity is a warp in space-time, what is electromagnetism?
Tom was no fool. He knew when he was being spoon-fed an answer. He stared at his desk lamp, trying to imagine that it was really some sort of space warp.
But to make it work, Kaluza and Klein had to tack some extra dimensions onto the universe. Then we discovered the nuclear forces and tried to create warp models for them.
When the smoke finally cleared, we had 11 dimensions on our hands.
Tom's mouth dropped open.
Merde! You mean physicists kept adding imaginary dimensions just to make their space warp metaphor consistent? Sounds like Ptolemaic astronomers adding new deference and epicycles.
Those dimensions are no more imaginary than Newton's force fields. And it wasn't arbitrary. Certain symmetry relations...
Tom held his hands up, palms out.
Okay, okay, I surrender.
He hadn't, and she knew it.
Don't patronize me! This is physics! This is real! And it's a hell of a lot more important than why some backwoods German village was abandoned when obviously everyone in it died!
This really was a very wrong thing to say, and more than factually wrong. What happens to human beings may actually be more important than what happens to physical theories. But it was wrong on a personal level. Sharon had created a warp in her own personal space, and the force it represented repelled. Tom stood. I have to walk over to the library. I've got a meeting with Judy.
More Eiffelheim? She asked without turning.
But it was not so simple a question as two words. English really is a tonal language, if you have an ear for the tones.
Tempus fugit,
he said after a moment, answering the question she hadn't quite asked. Quae fuerant vitia moris sunt. Sharon did not respond. Tom pulled his hard copy files and stuffed them into the pouch he used for his portable. Judy seemed a pretty girl, given the current preference for wholesomeness. Did Tom find that attractive? Why had he probed so insistently over Hernando? I do like you, you know. Tom slung his pouch over his shoulder. I wish you'd tell me now and then. It's an established fact, like gravity. It doesn't need continual reminders. He looked at her seriously. Yes, it does, when you're near a cliff. She looked to the side, perhaps expecting a precipice. Tom waited. And when, after a while, she had said nothing more, he started for the door. He looked back before he closed it and saw that Sharon had not moved.
She had to tell someone, so she told Hernando.
If I had to guess, the nucleonic engineer said when she had called him, you have a warp model for your time force.
If I add a 12th dimension, but that messes up the accepted models for the other four.
Until now, he guessed.
Right! It came to me in a flash. You see, the subatomic zoo was organized by the quark theory by 1990. Turned out all those subatomic particles were aliases for three families of three particles. Well, I've organized my 12 dimensions in the same way, as three sets of three, space, time, and something I haven't named yet.
That only makes nine, he pointed out. He did not point out that he probably knew the subatomic zoo better than she did.
Plus three metadimensions that link the three triplets on a higher level.
She doodled while she talked. A triangle with a smaller triangle at each corner. It was only an icon, really.
I call it the polyverse. Our universe is the subset that we can sense. A warp in the polyverse can intersect the universe in various ways depending on its orientation. Like the blind men and the elephant, we think we're seeing different forces, but they're just different cross-sections of a single warp.
We can't see these hidden dimensions, can we?
No! The extra dimensions form the inside of a balloon. The original monoblock was slightly asymmetrical. When it expanded in the Big Bang, some of its dimensions were rolled up. They're still there, inside the quarks, inside you, me, everything.
Maybe, said Hernando. But the simplest explanation for not seeing them is that they're not there. Sharon tried to patch things up with Tom over dinner. She waited until he came home from the library. Was he planning to read every book in that place? And announced that she was treating him to goulash and palate chicken in Balvaro's Cafe. Tom, who had already eaten cheesesteak hoagies with Judy at the pigeonhole, knew that there were times when a few extra calories was a bargain price, and agreed with as much cheer as he could master.
Jo, he said, getting into the mood. Paprikash chirkit, kerek golushkaval, eish uborkaval, eish palachintat.
She even let him chatter on about long-dead people and ghost towns, the gist of which was that there had been a hospice called St. Lawrence, somewhere in the Black Forest in the late 14th century, dedicated to plague victims and operated by a small order of friars named after St. Johann of Oberhochwald. What that had to do with anything, Sharon did not know. He started to show her the emblem of the order, but her patent disinterest stopped him. Instead, he asked about her own work. That was her cue.
What's wrong with the sequence 1914-2?
The gap between 14 and 2 is too great?
Right.
In the beginning, there was just a single superforce, because the extra dimensions hadn't rolled up yet. As the energy levels dropped, the polyverse warped, and the individual forces, froze out of the soup. Gravity became separate at Planck scale energy, 10 to the 19th protein masses. The strong nuclear force at unification scale, or 10 to the 14th proton masses, and the weak force at Weinberg-Salem scale, 90 proton masses, which is about 10 to the second.
For once in his life, Tom was able to leap ahead of her.
And you think your chronity froze out somewhere in between?
She grinned.
My guess is about 10 to the 8th proton masses. I call that Nagy scale energy because I'm just so freaking modest. Kern can't reach that, but maybe the new L4 accelerator will. Even back in the 1980s, they could reach Weinberg-Salem scale. They fused the weak force with electromagnetism and created the electro-weak force.
Oh, wait, I remember. That's the breakthrough that gave us the anti-nuclear shield, right?
Eventually. The weak force governs atomic decay.
Once we could hitch it to the electromagnetism, the fission suppression field was only a matter of time.
Holy shit!
Tom blinked. Perhaps it was from the flash of insight.
What? We know how to manipulate electromagnetism. If we can fuse chronity with the electroweak force, that should be able to manipulate the time force.
Time travel?
No, but time is three-dimensional. Nagy-scale energy gets us inside the balloon, and we could, well, go anywhere. Light speed is still the upper limit, but if we go far enough in the right direction, the kilometers will become very short, and the seconds become very long, and we can pick any freaking light speed we want.
Well, taking a shortcut through the inside of the balloon would be a neat trick, topologically, like a donut jumping through its own hole, but who knew? With the proper energies focused in the proper directions? He blinked again.
Instantaneous interstellar travel?
She shook her head.
As mere as makes no difference. Tom, we wouldn't need spaceships at all. We could drive our cars to the stars.
With protective suits, probably we could walk.
A single stride could cover interstellar distances.
7-league boots. Sounds like you've discovered hyperspace.
No, hypospace. Topology is conserved. The 8 hidden dimensions are inside the universe, remember?
To travel to other worlds, we have to travel inside.
She laughed, but this time he was oddly quiet. Tom?
He shook himself.